Hi, sexy listeners. I'm Dr. Tammy. Welcome to The Trouble with Sex. I can't tell you how excited I am to have my guest with us today, Dr. Sherry Ross. She is an OBGYN, an author, and a women's health expert. She's the author of the book Sheology, The Definitive Guide to Women's Intimate Health, which is a great book. It was named one of the 6 most life-changing wellness books of 2017 by Prevention.com and Women's Health Magazine. The sequel to Sheology, Let's Continue the Conversation, just came out this past February, and she's continuing the conversation on the Ellen Digital Network with her new show, Lady Parts. Dr. Sherry is an award-winning physician and has been honored with the John Wayne Cancer Institute Auxiliary Angel Award for her contributions in advancing the narrative of women's healthcare. She's also co-founded URGA Intimates, a clean beauty skincare line for the vulva and vagina. And I'm going to be totally transparent here. Dr. Sherry has saved my vagina. So just personal information there, and I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. Help us spread the love. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to give us 5 stars or write a great review on Apple Podcasts. Not only do we love to hear your feedback, your support really makes a difference. It's going to help other people who are looking for advice about their relationships and sexual wellness. We have lots of amazing guests coming up, so subscribe so you don't miss a thing. We love and appreciate all of you, and thank you so much for your continued support. I want to welcome you, Dr. Sherry. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I am excited to be here.
I love that you are like the doctor to the stars and to people like me, like who are suffering from menopause and pain. And I got to be honest, like nobody has helped me. It's been many years of pain and suffering and people sort of trying this and that and the other thing. And you like hit it out of the park. I don't know. Like for you, this is like no big deal. You're like, yeah, just another vagina, another day.
Listen, I want to save one vagina at a time, Tammy. So you know, you're all VIPs to me, especially women over 40. They're my true stars because they're the ones that have the hardest time.
Well, you're like the menopause miracle for me because, I mean, I was in a lot of pain and I just thought, you know, I guess the door's closed for me. Like, I guess the gate is shut and the barn doors are closed forever. I really think that it's so important to talk about this, whether we're talking about sex after kids, whether we're talking about sex during pregnancy. You know, sex and pain is a big part of being a woman that it doesn't get talked about.
Absolutely. No. And you know what's so interesting is a lot of women think it's normal to have a little pain with sex. And I hear that over and over and over. So I love you're talking about it. It just warms my heart. It's such an important topic. I think we should talk about it as often as possible until women over 40, over 50 can embrace and love their vagina, still want to have sex with their partner and not think pain is normal.
And that's so true because I know so many women are like, well, I've just had this forever. And so I thought this was just the way it was. And, you know, I thought I just have to like muscle through it. Or I would just have to like change the subject with my partner and avoid it or, you know, turn into a sexless relationship because I didn't know what to do.
Which happens a lot, right? You, and then they come see you.
Right, which they really should be seeing both of us because it's like a team project.
Well, yeah. And I think it just, no one wants to talk about menopause because it's associated with aging. No one wants to talk about what happens to our bodies, a complete breakdown. The vagina just is victim of menopause in so many ways, without estrogen, without our fountain of youth hormone that dries us up. We don't want to have penetration. We just want to hug and watch, you know, Netflix marathons and eat popcorn. And then we gain weight. And then we just feel bad about ourselves and bad about our vaginas. But, you know, we have to fight this. We have to save the vagina one at a time. You and I, Tammy.
That's going to be our mission, save the vagina. And so what happens after people have kids? I mean, it's the same thing, right? Like this message that after 6 weeks, you should be good to go. you had the kid, it's been 6 weeks, go for it. And then I hear from women all the time, like, it feels like there's ground glass in there. like there's something wrong with me and I don't want to have intercourse. I don't want to have a penis in there. I don't want to have a finger in there. It doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, like there's just no way. And so then they avoid it. They feel like there's something wrong with them. There's something broken. It doesn't matter either if there's like a C-section or
it doesn't matter.
A vaginal birth. What's happening there?
And really what's happening is that during postpartum, when first of all, you're in hormonal, the eye of the storm, you're breastfeeding. When you breastfeed, your estrogen level goes to zero. It goes to menopause. So your vagina is going through a very quick version of atrophic vaginitis, which is dry vagina, Sahara Desert vagina. So, you know, you haven't had sex at least in 6 weeks. You're burning, you're dry. You're breastfeeding, you're sleep deprived, you just feel horrible. And then you're, you know, your partner, if you're with a male, you haven't had anything, you know, they can't wait to have penetration sex. It hurts, it's dry, you know, you're leaking everywhere. It's really
so
a woman's
sexy
nightmare. So it's, you know, add that. So hormonal changes as it relates to low estrogen. Again, we're circling back on what happens to perimenopause, to menopausal women. It all has to do, and it, you know, to some extent, is estrogen and the hormonal changes. But, you know, we treat it very similar. I mean, we use a good lubrication. We hydrate. You know, I'm a big fan of hydrating the vagina with hyaluronic acid internally and externally. I mean, there's a lot we can do. And vaginal dilators, I'm a big fan of as well.
Well, you know, you're the one that told me, look, you hydrate your face, you moisturize your face, you take care of your skin. You have to do the same thing to your vagina. And I'm like, never occurred to me. I'm a sex therapist. I've been doing this for over 30 years. Never occurred to me to tell people you have to like moisturize your vagina. Like it seems such like a duh moment to me now that I look back. Like it just didn't occur to me like that's what you should do and that there's products for that.
And I think it's, you know, it when you explain it to women, that if we took care of our vulva and vagina, like our face, we use special products, we hydrate, we moisturize, the tissue will be less dry, less itching, less irritation, pain with intercourse, you know, less scratching, less infection, and truthfully, premature aging of this area. So I'm on a mission, you know, to really make this conversation, you know, more commonplace. I mean, I think I want to say like 2019 was really the year all of a sudden people were talking about their vagina. They were saying the word. I was like, oh my God, change is upon us. And now we're really talking about taking care of this area in a way we've never really spoken about because, you know, you've heard the vagina is self-cleaning. And I think there has to be a caveat conversation to that. Yes, it's true. The inside, the vagina, the canal, great, you know, we have a 30 or so foot soldiers keeping the tissue healthy inside and just like tears to the eyes. There's a natural discharge that does clean. But I always say, you know, like our self-cleaning oven at home, you still have to take care of the stovetop. So this is where using vagina-friendly products and really was sort of the conception of Urja Intimates, which is a skincare line, first of its kind, that's really made for the outside of the vagina. We have a wonderful, very clean beauty. So no additives, hyaluronic acid, extra virgin coconut oil, passion flower extract, many things that are natural, anti-inflammatory ingredients, apigens, everything that's really natural that's going to not affect the pH balance. It's a cleansing product. And then we actually have a serum for the labia. And it's just, it feels so good. And when it makes sense to you, you shower, use your products, you put your lotion on and now you're going to put it on the vulva. And we also have an amazing lube and CBD. CBD is a great anti-inflammatory product that's so great for the tissue. So very, very excited about it.
So it's a hydrating lube that goes internally to the vagina and also a moisturizer for the vulva, like a serum.
Yeah, and a personal wash.
And a wash.
And we call it the Vibrant V, personal wash that's made for the vulva and the entrance of the vagina. And it's It just has all the important ingredients we talk about. I've been talking about extra virgin coconut oil, hyaluronic acid forever. You know, you don't want to use the same bar of soap that you're going to clean your underarm and your feet with, right? You know, the vulva and vagina, I mean, they're delicate, sensitive.
We like need to do it. And
you will, it's true. And, you know, when you start thinking about it, like I had a gal today, I was in the office and, you know, she's in perimenopause and she's like, God, I've had this like dripping, not urine, but a discharge. So I've been wearing a panty liner for 4 months. The labia was so dried out and it was, you know, you can just tell it's thickened and it has like a little white appearance to it. And, you know, why are you squirming in your seat trying to itch yourself through your jeans? You know, it's like people aren't talking enough about what are common feminine hygiene products that we're using that the vulva just, you know, is an absolute no. And that's one of them.
I'm telling you, those panty liners are the enemy of your vulva. Those are so awful for your vulva. Like, I think I was allergic to every single one of them. You know, after I had my kids, I would use them or for whatever reason. And they just.
Well, how many of us are, you know, lose urine, right? And how many of us especially after 50, had a couple of kids, you know, gained some weight, you know, we're not doing our Kegel exercises. I mean, you know, 50% of women over 50 have loss of urine. That's another taboo topic. I mean, I'm not going to write a book about it because I think I don't want to do that, but I definitely want to be talking about it because this is another, you know, vaginal dryness, painful intercourse, loss of urine. It's right up there in the top five conversations that we really need to be having.
So when I see women who have just had children, it's after pregnancy, like you said, it takes a long time. Like, how long does it take before it feels better? Or do you have to do all these things to prepare and it's not just going to happen over time?
The typical woman comes in 6 weeks postpartum. She's medically cleared. She's given a birth control. We're like, go ahead. I always tell my patients, look, you are going to have painful intercourse. So you got to prepare yourself. You need a good lube. You need a lube because your natural lubrication, because you're in breastfeeding menopause, you're not going to be lubricated. That great wet feeling is just not going to happen until, to your question, you start to breastfeed less. So whether you decide to do it for 3 months or 6 months or a year, you know, it's just not going to quite feel that great. And guess what? Having an orgasm is going to be harder also, for the same reason that women in menopause have a harder time having orgasms, because less blood flow to the vulva and clitoris and all the erectile tissue there. So your whole vagina, if you think about it, less estrogen, it's in menopause too. So you have to treat those symptoms. Dryness with lube. I'm a huge fan of the vibrator. We all need to have one that we love. Bring it into the room. It helps. You know, whatever helps you feel sexually satisfied. There's not a lot to do for leaking breasts, but you can wear a bra because, you know, if you're sexually excited, you're going to squirt. That's normal as well. So it's kind of time, patience, communication with your partner and your therapist and just know it's completely normal. Once you start breastfeeding less, once it's sort of less than 5 a day, you'll probably get a period. Once you get your period back, your estrogen's coming back too. So that's a good sign. You know, your period's sort of our health barometer, right? When it's regular and monthly, things tend to be balanced. The fourth trimester is challenging. So just know it's medically explained. So you just have to ask questions, listen to this podcast, and just really seek out answers because it's completely normal.
Yeah, I mean, it makes so much sense what you're saying, and it sort of normalizes the fear and the pain. And, you know, so many women during their period have sore breasts and the breastfeeding problem of sore breasts and breasts getting in the way and just not wanting to be touched. I mean, there's so many elements to that. And just the fear of getting pregnant again, you know, the idea that, you know, the body sort of is in shutdown for a reason. Like, we don't want to get pregnant yet.
Well, I mean, being postpartum, I mean, we're not feeling that sexy. You know, I always say you got to give yourself a pass for 9 months to allow your body to get back to its sort of normal pre-pregnant state and where you feel a little more fit, less flabby, You're not as hormonal. I mean, it's, you know, it's not just because you can physically can have sex. It's like most people don't want to have sex, but we do it for our partner. You know, they're often feeling very marginalized and lonely in the postpartum period. So, you know, you got to take it for the team sometimes. But, you know, I think it's okay to not feel your best and verbalize it, because a lot is happening as your body's transitioning back to its normal pre-pregnant state. And like I said, you get a postpartum pregnancy pass for 9 months. And then you can start beating yourself up if you're not feeling good about where you're at. But, you know, it takes a long time and you just have to be patient.
Yeah, and you're not sleeping. I mean, you're exhausted, and exhaustion is not that sort of...
The worst.
Yeah, it doesn't lead to good sex.
No, it doesn't. You close your eyes and you're sleeping.
Right.
You know, you don't close your eyes because you can't wait for the, you know, joy and ecstasy.
Right, you're falling asleep in the middle of sex. That's not good for your relationship either.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you've ever been interested in becoming a sex therapist or a sexuality counselor, find out more at IntegrativeSexTherapyInstitute.com or ISTITraining.com, ISTITraining.com. ISTI trains therapists to be the best sex and couples therapists that they can be. Classes are easy. They're online. You can download information anytime and apply today. That's ISTITraining.com, Integrative Sex Therapy Institute. I have a question about the dilators. So I know one of the things you recommend is sort of dilator therapy, and you have a really good set of dilators. Can you talk more about what you would recommend for people and when you use those?
So I'm a big advocate of talking about sexual wellness. I see it every day, the problems that women are having. And more I kept seeing menopausal women, perimenopausal women, women who maybe not have had sex in 6 months or a year or 5 years, or they're newly divorced and they're, you know, that they haven't had really sex in 10 years. And now they're on match.com and they're like, oh, you know, getting winks, and they're like, oh my God, I can't wait to get out there. But nothing's been inside of the vagina. It's not just about lube. So the very entrance, and I refer to this condition as the collapsed V, the entrance of the vagina, it's like an elastic band. And the more it's used, the more sex you have, or, you know, it stretches out. The less sex you have, it's uncomfortable. So, and then of course, depending on if you're, you know, your male partner has a big girth, or, you know, average girth is like 4.5 inches, you know, something going into that opening is very painful. That's why a lot of people, they, you know, haven't had sex in 6 months and they feel like they have a UTI, right? They feel the pressure and burning, and they might've been lubricated. So the collapsed V is a vagina that could benefit from, yes, to lubrication, but also vaginal dilators. They come in very different forms. I was trained on ones that you would just lay down flat. You know, you'd lay on the bed 15, 30 minutes. You'd insert it 3 times a week. You'd go up in sizes. I have, you know, 8 different sizes. So anyhow, one thing had led to another, and I was using the dilators that you lay down because that was the only choice we had. I partnered with the woman that made these dilators because I love them. They're silicone. They're soft. They don't look like the head of a penis. They're just really comfortable. And I have them that you can wear them. So it just, you know, it made women feel, I think, more compliant. They could walk around in them. They could read their email, you know.
Take a shower.
Cook dinner, even work out.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of dilators. So it's not just for menopause, perimenopausal, breast cancer patients, female cancer patients, you know, really are also such an important group that we have to talk about dilators, because, you know, they're just happy to be alive. You know, they're not thinking about, I'm going to have sex now. But, you know, it's been a long time. They aren't having estrogen to use, and their opening collapses. So using dilators, you know, a few times a week, and then maybe once a week, some people, even if their partner's in, you know, different state, and they don't have sex but once every 4 to 6 weeks, the opening of the vagina, it collapses a little bit. So dilators are such a great partner to keep that opening just kind of supple and making intercourse or anything going into the vagina not uncomfortable.
Doctor, can you tell me what you think is the biggest trouble with sex today?
Oh, I think the biggest trouble with sex today is that women aren't demanding equality under the sheets. I think women deserve to be pleasured equally as men. And I think it's just so important that we as women initiate that, the importance of that. As it relates to sex, and this is such an important conversation because women need it just as much.
I love that, sexual equality. We have a quick question from one of our listeners. It's Janet in Manhattan. She says, I'm in my mid-20s and I've been on the pill for years, but I'm worried it's not good for me. During intercourse, I heard a pop and then started bleeding. It didn't hurt, but it was scary. I called my doctor. She said a cyst may have popped, but I'm worried I've been on the pill too long. Should I try another birth control? I don't know if those things are related, but it seems like a compound question, but maybe you can give her some answers without diagnosing her on a podcast.
Yeah. So I would wonder if she's having regular sex. I mean, the pill is safe. The pill has been a girl's best friend forever. It has a lot of health benefits too. For someone that doesn't have high blood pressure or is a non-smoker, they can pretty much take it or blood clot history, can take it up to, 55, as they can make menopause a lot easier to transition. But it's actually, she had bleeding or felt a pop. I don't know if she had an internal vaginal cyst, which you can have.
Oh, interesting.
A Bartholin cyst on the outer, sort of the labia, the inner area of the opening, sort of the 4 o'clock position at the introitus. Sometimes those pop and bleed. Those are going to be the most common. Not an ovarian cyst, of course, but, I think if she otherwise likes the pill, likes some of the benefits of, regular light periods, no cramps, acne, hormonal balance, protects you from ovarian cancer. It's covered by insurance for most women. It's a really great birth control. And I wouldn't necessarily stop it.
Okay, good advice.
And then maybe for the examination of the bleeding, maybe seeing a gynecologist to see what could be that cause and where exactly, where it's coming from.
Yeah, that's a little concerning. I would definitely see a gynecologist. I would run to the gynecologist. And we have another question from Pam in Minnesota. During COVID, many women seem to be inquiring about freezing their eggs and embryos. I love the idea about being in control of my fertility, but I'm worried about the medical risks. What are your thoughts health-wise and for future relationships?
I love this question. Huge, huge fan of egg freezing.
Really?
And huge fan.
Wow.
So, this is real progressive family planning, right? Now, we're taking family planning into our own hands in a way that's really not, it's kind of unprecedented, right? So between the age of 31 to 38 is the best time to freeze your eggs. It's actually can be like a 2 to 3 month process. It's very safe. You basically go through the first half of IVF cycle, in vitro cycle. Medications you receive on a short-term basis are safe. There's really no risk to you. And it's the way to preserve your genetics. It takes a lot of pressure off women. I can't even tell you. No one ever regrets doing it.
Interesting.
I think the only hard part is it's costly. So you either, ask a future grandparent or, some insurance companies cover it. If you work for Facebook or Apple, I think also covers it. I would do it. I think it's just really helpful. It takes a lot of pressure off women. Times are different. All of us are working. The days of, try to get pregnant in your late 20s or early 30s. It just doesn't happen, assuming you've met someone. I think everyone at age 30, 31 should start talking to their gynecologist, bringing it up, engaging, because it often is going to have to come from you.
Interesting. So what is the safe age to do it until? What do you think is the,
so 31 to 38 is sort of the window because just your eggs, they're less hard boiled, so to speak. That biological clock is real. So over 40, the quality of the egg is not going to be as great. Your miscarriage rate, meaning, is going to be, over 40%. So when you're 38 and 3 months, you're basically 39. So you're 9 months ahead. So you have to think about that as well. So the 31 to 38 was very, intentional. So that's the ideal time to do it.
Such good advice. God, you are a wealth of information. People are so lucky to have you as their doctor. I can't even tell you.
Oh, thank you.
If you live near Santa Monica, California, you should contact Dr. Sherry Ross now before her practice is full and you can't get anywhere near her.
No, I'm open. And, what's great too is that we're talking about all these issues on Lady Parts, the show I'm doing with Sarah Hyland on Ellen's digital network. And finally, we're finally just talking about it. So really excited about it. And so are a lot of women. And I hear from women all over, including Minnesota and Ohio. And I just feel like everyone's starving for information. And when you think about it, the average time we spend with a doctor is 7.5 minutes. Like, you don't get to have these conversations. So
totally.
I'm glad you're talking about it, Tammy.
I love talking about sex and I love having an expert like you on. And so our last question before we end is about UTIs. That's my question. UTIs, go. What can you tell me?
First question is, how old are you? You know, because UTIs in someone that's in menopause or over 40, again, this is about the estrogen. You know, estrogen is helpful for the bladder, the urethra, and women can get UTIs just by virtue of having low estrogen.
I think just by virtue of someone looking at me, I can get a UTI.
Yeah. And then you add sex into it, you know, it's all over.
Yeah, it's all over.
So I think, look, for any age woman, after you have sex, you got to empty your bladder 100%. You got to do that. Do not do that. I mean, our little urethra is so small, 3 centimeters, to the bladder, and bacteria can easily swim into the bladder. There are great things that you can take to sort of prevent bacteria from sticking to the wall in the bladder if you get recurrent infections. But first and foremost, no dirty fingers going in there, good hygiene, wipe, you know, front to back, empty your bladder after you have intercourse. And then, you know, if you're getting recurrent infections, you always have to think about how the frequency you're having intercourse, because that too, women that, again, spaced out intercourse weeks and weeks are more prone. New partner, new bacteria, but always follow the golden rules of how to be preventative. Cranberry tablets cannot hurt, but they're not going to necessarily treat it. I think it's a lot of just good basic care and hygiene and anything recurrent. And always make sure you drop off a urine at your healthcare provider if you think you have one. Because some women think they have a UTI, they have pain, burning frequency, and there's another condition called interstitial cystitis that is not a UTI. There's no bacteria. So let's say, Tammy, a pain, burning frequency keeps happening. You call your doctor, hey, treat me. They treat you, send meds to your CVS, keeps happening. You may have interstitial cystitis, and the only way to differentiate it is to drop off a urine at your doctor's, because if the culture's negative, you may want to see a urologist to make that diagnosis.
Wow. So UTIs, urinary tract infections, folks, they're not your friend. So basically, see your doctor, follow up on that good hygiene, everything that Dr. Sherry has mentioned, and make sure that you hydrate your vulva, take care of your vagina, and wipe from front to back and pee after sex. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you, Dr. Sherry. Thank you so much, Dr. Sherry Ross, for being on our show today, The Trouble with Sex. How can people find you if they want more information, if they want to find your books, if they want to find your dilators and your products? Where do they go?
So, well, drsherry.com, that's my site. You know, as an educator, my books are there. But you can, they take you to links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Those are for my books. I have a sexual wellness shop that has my dilators, different sizes. Of course, if your partner has a large penis girth, there's my advanced size. I have a great vibrator. I have Kegel balls that are there, lube and so on. That's in my Dr. Sherry site. Lady parts you can find on ellentube.com. We have just completed our first series. We have rotating guests along with Sarah Hyland. It is so much fun. And then there's other, you know, question and answer episodes too. So come find me on Instagram, Dr. Sherry R on Instagram.
And you can't ever get enough of Dr. Sherry. So definitely check it out. her out on Lady Parts.
Yeah, it's a vagina revolution, ladies. We gotta do this.
We're doing it, Dr. Sherry. Thank you so much again. I really appreciate it. And to all my listeners, stay sexy, stay well, stay healthy. Until next time, I'm Dr. Tammy, and this is The Trouble with Sex. To find out more, go to thetroublewithsex.com or email me at drtammy@thetroublewithsex.com. Join our mailing list, follow us on social media, sign up for our newsletter, or send me a question. The Trouble with Sex is produced by Brandy Savitt and Jane Applegate. Our audio is by Flavor Lab, New York City. This episode was recorded on location by Bruce Hirschfield and mixed by Julia Skubisch and Eric Stern, with music by Bruce Hirschfield.